Welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. We're talking here today about the Biosecurity Research Institute. We have Associate Vice President for Research and Director of BRI joining us via the telephone, Dr. Stephen Higgs. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon. Thanks for the opportunity to chat with you, even though I'm doing it from home.
Yeah, it's certainly a pleasure. And, of course, this is kind of strange times we're living in here. We're seeing a lot of social distancing going on here at every level of just about everything. It's affecting public services. It's affecting government. Curious what all steps you guys are taking, because you are part of the K-State campus there.
Well, thanks, Brandon. Yes. So we are doing everything that our leadership has recommended. We're following those very carefully. Of course, the BRI, the Biosecurity Research Institute at Kansas State University, is a very special facility in many ways because of the nature of our research, education, and training programs and the types of pathogens that we deal with. So safety and security is critical, at the same time supporting those research programs. So we have got a reduced workforce at the moment. Our managers in all aspects of the BRI, we've got a fantastic management team. We've been anticipating changes for a while, looking ahead and meeting regularly and often to discuss the steps that we were going to take. And they are all implemented at the moment. So we do have reduced people. We've got the same high necessary standards of safety and security. We're supporting some research projects which are ongoing, which are very important, and then are planning ahead, as you know, and as the listeners know. Things are changing. I don't know. It almost seems by the hour at the moment. So we are well prepared. Great management team. Great workforce. Of course, the BRI. I call it a family. It is like a family. We all know each other, work together, and work diligently, and are keeping things going.
Well, do you believe as far as the response has been going here was with people practicing social distancing, is this the right response, or is this what we should be doing?
Well, I mean, certainly we don't know everything about this virus, but one of the things we do know is that it is apparently highly infectious, potentially fatal to the older people. I might be one of those. And the spread of this, like many other pathogens, is by contact, person to person. And by reducing those interactions between people, you obviously reduce the risk of meeting somebody who is infected and getting infected yourself. One of the things is that it is quite clear that people can be infected but appear perfectly healthy, not feel sick at all, and yet be shedding that virus for possibly quite some time and potentially infecting other people. And that's certainly a very difficult aspect of this. If you see somebody and you know they're infected, they're easy to avoid, but if there are people out there that are not showing symptoms, then this social distancing is key.
Well, just to put it in perspective, let's say somebody, yourself, for example, if you were to get test positive for this virus, how would that impact the BRI? You guys would have to virtually shut down, isn't that right?
Well, here I am at home and we haven't shut down. I mean, I would be doing exactly the same if I were infected, as we are already implementing. So, yeah, you know what? I'm not one of the essential people that have to be there. I'm able to work at home. I'm keeping in contact with all our managers virtually. I've just got off of a Zoom call now. So the event, all of our people being infected and having to close down is, I would hopefully say, unrealistic. But, of course, we're seeing many other effects in the community at the moment. I have to say, we've got a fabulous community here. I've been more at home here than probably anywhere, and we are seeing significant impacts. My day typically starts at McDonald's at about 5 a.m., and they're just doing drive-through or certainly non-dining orders at the moment. And Chick-fil-A isn't endorsing any particular one, Brandon, but just my personal observation that the community is putting together, it's going to impact our very important local businesses, and we have to think about that. I visit to Old Chicago's on Sunday. I was at Texas Roadhouse the day before. They are taking incredibly great precautions in protecting their customers, or have been so far.
Yeah, it's different times, and certainly it's nice to see that everybody kind of self-governing, and we're doing the same thing here. That's why we're not doing face-to-face interviews right now with K-Man. So we can't have anybody go down here because we have to provide a service to our community. So,
and we really appreciate that as a community.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know that, and I know you're not an entire expert at this virus here, but that there is work going on to create a vaccine eventually for this virus, for this strain of virus. And I know that takes some time here. What is the process like for developing a vaccine for something as contagious as this?
Well, with all the vaccine development programs, it does take a long time, because it's not only that you need to know that it works, that it protects the people who are vaccinated, but of course it has to be safe. And that takes a long time. And normally that progresses through a series of studies, including animal studies, before it ever gets into people. And certainly what I've read this morning or yesterday, there is a vaccine that is being tested in human volunteers, I read on the news today, without that initial animal testing. I'm sure they've done a lot of studies to ensure that it is not toxic or doesn't have untoward effects. There seems to be an accelerating program to help get critically needed vaccines available, but it will still take quite a long time. I mean, we're talking months and months, possibly.
So if anybody who reads something online, because there's a lot of misinformation out there, so if they say, hey, well, I see that we could have a vaccine by next month, that's probably unrealistic.
I think that's unrealistic. And yes, there is a lot of information out there, and some of it is true, and let's be honest, some of it is nonsense. There are legitimate sites of people being able to stay updated. Certainly the Center for Disease Control has a site. We are informing all of our K-State family of resources that they can go to where there will be legitimate information. Same with everything. Don't believe everything you read.
Right. Well, again, we're talking with Dr. Stephen Higgs, Associate Vice President for Research and Director of the Biosecurity Research Institute. Let me just ask you here, and there seems to be a lot of distrust in government. Some people distrust science. And I can't ever understand why people would distrust science here. It seems like now more than ever, we should be looking to you guys for answers.
Yes, I agree with you, Brandon. I mean, the decisions that we are making, and the decisions in this context, should really be what we say data-driven, fact-driven. And it's science that produces those data that can be tested so that those decisions and policies can be rationally developed. There are all the scientists I know around the world in many countries, they got their heart and soul into this type of research. It's so important for human and animal health that they are ethical scientists who are doing the very best they can to produce honest data that is critical for this type of study.
Well, I'll maybe give you just a few moments here to talk about some of the ongoing research you guys have going on at the BRI. I know it's not maybe coronavirus related, but very important work that's going on here locally.
Yes, so we've had a number of studies on livestock diseases this year already, African swine fever in particular. That's the big economic threat, or one of the big economic threats that we're concerned about. Been sweeping through China, as you know. I mean, China's been facing a lot of problems over the last 2 years with possibly 200 million pigs killed because of African swine fever, and now this coronavirus. So we know that the pathogens with which we work at the BRI are very important in terms of threats to people, animals, and the economy, and especially American agriculture. That's what we do, and that's what we will continue to do under these unusual circumstances.
And you have plenty of students out there doing research, all remotely, I guess, for the rest of the year. How's that challenging with, as far as labs are concerned? How will those be done?
So, as I mentioned, as these problems have been developing, we have been thinking very proactively to plan accordingly, reassign people's responsibilities to get coverage in the absence of absence of some individuals who can't come in, to do that to maintain that safety and security of the BRI and to maintain some of those important research projects that we've got. We're nimble. We're forward thinking. The Institute of K-State has been doing a great job of evaluating this and giving us sound advice that we're acting on.
All right. Well, very good. It's all very strange times we're living through, and we're all going to get through it together. And it's kind of reassuring to hear from somebody who witnesses this kind of work on a daily basis here with as far as infectious diseases and such. Dr. Higgs, anything else before we let you go?
No, my thanks to sort of all of my staff there and the university and the community for all pulling in the same direction to help us get through this.
All right, sounds good. Well, we'll talk to you again sometime down the road. Hopefully we'll get to do a face-to-face interview here in the near future.
That would be great, Brandon. Thanks for your hard work and the K-Man team.